Morning, folks. Wave if you can hear. Yeah, that's good. I can hear you too. Yeah. Well, when you're not muted. Good. Okay, second week of Advent. Traditionally, a focus on the prophets. And the prophet we're focusing on this morning is Isaiah. My Bible class teacher said that the way to remember Isaiah is that he had one eye higher than the other. But we won't get into that. Messiah for the nations. Isaiah brought back a focus to God's people that the Messiah was coming, and he wasn't just going to be for them. He was going to be for everyone. Every single person, nation, tribe, language, all people everywhere. And that's maybe a surprise for the Jewish nation, because they thought that they were it. Although they'd been commissioned to be a witness to the nations right from the beginning. Always intended to be a witness to the surrounding nations. But as we see from Judges and Kings, particularly, as soon as they went their own way, they ended up being in a place of judgment rather than a place of blessing. It's good to hear of some surprises that people have had during this week. The surprise of somebody saying yes when you expected them to say no. The possibility of more people coming to carol services this year to hear a message of hope. That's always going to be a blessing when that happens. And we are the people who are intended to be spreading a message of good news. How many disciples were there? There were the 12. There was the 3. There was the 70 or the 72. There was the 500 just after the resurrection. So don't let's get hung up on thinking that apostles is only referring to 12 people. Paul was added to the number. When we let outside influences come between us and our God, we end up being in a place of not blessing, but fear, perhaps hopelessness. So Isaiah brought back the focus. He is coming. Emmanuel is God with us, and he's coming again. Is that good news? Yes. It's good news that he's coming, but he has been coming for well over 2,000 years. And some people will be thinking, well, he hasn't come yet, so perhaps we shouldn't be hoping that he will come. Tricky one, that. But he is on his way. And for the early church, they had an expectation of the Lord's return imminently. And that's a good place to be, because it will keep us on our toes, won't it? Because we are among the sent ones, the apostles, the apostoloi, those who have been called to the Lord in order to be sent out from the Lord. Which takes us very neatly to Romans chapter 10. If you've got your Bibles handy, have a look at Romans chapter 10. An amazing passage. And bear in mind that Paul was writing to a house church in the capital of the Roman Empire, which was the center of Gentile stroke pagan worship. So Paul, as a sent one, is sending this letter straight into the heart of pagan worship. And it may be that that's where we are. You might not often think about your neighbours as being pagans, but in January, there are going to be there's going to be a coming together of Christians and pagans at Loddington Farm, blessing the apple trees. And the Morris men will be there. And people will be saying things to apple trees that we might not agree with. But we're going to be in a position of praying for blessing on the farm and on the trees. And we won't be letting off a blunderbuss like the pagans will, but we shall be able to bless the farmer and his crops. Interesting. We might think that we ought to be separating ourselves from the pagans. But Paul was actually in there getting involved. And you can trace how he got involved by going back into the book of Acts. So if you've got Romans 10 open, I'm just going to read it and see how you can interact with the pronouns. There's a tricky one. So if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, this is starting at verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a quote from Isaiah 28, verse 16. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. That's not just a message for preachers. When did you last inspect your feet? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The apostoloi, the sent ones. Jesus said to his followers, I am sending you. Then we have the Great Commission in Matthew 28, which always brings to my mind the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And Jesus added to that, and love your neighbour as yourself. So, question for us, who is my neighbour? Well, the Good Samaritan parable tells us that it's anyone in trouble, whatever their background. And it was the Samaritan who looked after someone who wasn't in his own network, so to speak. So who is our neighbour? Some years ago, we had a project from a house group and we set up a barbecue in the summer. And we sent out invitations and we expected perhaps 20 people to be there. But as it happened, 120 people came. And that was staggering. And as the day wore on, we found that people had been living next to many people in the street and they didn't know each other. They didn't even know their Christian names. So who is our neighbour? Hopefully, every one of us knows more than just the names of our neighbours. But do we know whether they're pagans or Christians? Do we know who or what they worship? There's a challenge. Getting to know people at that kind of level is something that takes time. It takes time to get involved. It takes time to get the opportunity to speak in, not necessarily with words, but to demonstrate who we are following. Becoming involved in the Great Commandment brings blessing. At the end of Matthew 28, Jesus says, "I will be with you to the very end of the age," but it actually comes after the commission. So being sent brings blessing. Christine brought to our attention earlier Psalm 57, a very helpful verse, putting into context that we are here not just for ourselves, we're here for the nations. And we are blessed in this country that the nations actually come to us. Have you ever wondered why it is that people from so far away keep wanting to come here? There was a time when we used to send out missionaries. The great missionary period was the beginning of the 1900s. Unfortunately, that tended to have all sorts of attachments with it, which is why we find people in other countries still dressing up in their dark suits if they're men on Sundays, or wearing their fancy hats if they're ladies, because that was how things were done in those days. And many nations have actually tried to copy our form of Christianity. But there are many forms of following Christ. So back to Romans chapter 10. How then will they call on him? Quick rehearsal into pronouns. I, you, plural, singular, and he or she. And then we, you, plural, and they. And when you're reading in scripture and come across the word you, it's always helpful to find out if that's a singular you or a plural you. Is Jesus speaking to an individual, or is the writer speaking to a group of people? So how will they call upon him, the Lord, in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone communicating? Communication sometimes by words, but you've heard the old adage, preach the gospel, and if you really have to, use words. There are things that we can do, and the way that we are with our neighbours makes a difference. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? So where do we fit in that? Are we part of the they? Are we part of the you? We have been called to be sent. It's great to know that we're going to be out carol singing on the, what is it, which day? The 17th? Yeah? No? What is the day? Let's have a reminder.
Tuesday the 16th.
Tuesday the 16th.
Yeah.
Tuesday the
14th? The
14th.
14th. Can we be there all at the same time? Yeah.
We're going to be on the 14th.
Right. But we don't have to wait till then to be sharing good news with our neighbours. It's not a question of taking our Bibles and hammering someone. It's a question of relational taking part. And when we're out carol singing, we're likely to be meeting people for the first time. So the impression that we make, it's going to be a good one, isn't it? How many of us are going to be in Boughton carol singing together? Hands. You might not think you're a good singer, but you can engage somebody with a smile. So we're going to be reaching out from Junction. Is that the plan? The core group has a plan, and it's to do some reaching out. Before Christmas, it's going to be with carols. After Christmas, it's going to be with footballers. Is that right? We're going to be reaching out from beyond our borders, which is, in our context, reaching out to the nations. The nations. So how beautiful are your feet? You might have corns, but the question is, can we be a going people? The answer is yes, we can be, but we need to come alongside and take to heart the fact that we are being called to the Lord in order to be sent out, to be apostolic, to be the sent ones. So, second Sunday in Advent, our focus is on the prophets, not just Isaiah, but to be prophetic in our own worship of God, in our own way, to be looking beyond what we currently see. And may God bless us as we do that, each one of us, and together as a group. And all God's people said, Amen.